You made it to the status of snake. All right, so Joe Lacob. Michael, here's what it is. Michael Thompson's hanging out today. So
Light Years Lacob. Give him the right title.
Light Years Lacob.
Light Years Lacob.
Yeah, Joe here's once said that the Warriors are light years ahead of every other team in the
NBA.
Well,
they were for a few years.
Yeah, he was for 5 years.
All right, here's what he said. He said, in some ways, he's asked about Ben Simmons. He said, in some ways, it doesn't really fit what we're doing. He makes a lot of money, and he can he finish games? He's very talented. The problem is we have Draymond. Draymond and Ben are very similar in the sense that neither one really shoots, and they do a lot of the playmaking. That's one issue. The salary structure is another. That's what he got tagged, $50,000 for tampering with.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Besides, $50,000 is light.
What's the difference between that and Magic saying, I hope Giannis wins a championship
wait a minute,
in Milwaukee? That was
glad,
a $50,000 fine.
I'm glad you brought this up as a comparison. Here's what should have happened. The Lakers never should have been fined for what Magic said.
Correct.
And the Warriors should not be fined for this.
Nope. But they were.
These debates are good, Michael,
yes,
for the NBA.
Right.
When we're talking about this, that means we're not talking about the NFL. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about Major League Baseball. We're not talking about soccer. We're talking about the NBA.
Yep.
Whether or not Ben Simmons would fit on the Warriors is interesting.
Yep. Yes, I agree.
Why should Joe Lacob
because
be prohibited
we got
from
fined.
Talking? Right, but Mace,
if you want to
arguing
change,
two wrongs make
the
a
tampering
right.
rule.
Yeah, but you're arguing two wrongs make a right.
I just think they come after the Lakers too much. Well, I think they're always
well, of course,
us. They,
yeah.
They didn't let us have the Chris Paul trade.
Yeah.
They screwed us over on that $50,000 uh-huh. fine, which was ridiculous. You know, if you want to change the rule, change the rule. But right now, by the letter of the law, by what it says in the little rule book you got, it says that's tampering, so I think he should be fined $50,000.
It's a silly rule because what do you think goes on behind closed doors with these
of
players?
Of course.
I mean, these players talk to each other. Hey, let's play together. Hey, you need to come play with me. The NBA needs to stop this old-fashioned, archaic rule. Understand that this is a new time. Guys now are texting, DMing each other, whatever they're doing, and putting together teams and players they want to play with.
So part of it, guys, is that the small market teams, basically anybody outside of California or New York or Miami, the teams that can't really sign free agents
mm-hmm.
argue that these teams like Golden State and the Lakers and the Heat and the Knicks all have a competitive advantage because they play in major markets and that's where all the players want to go.
Well, they always have. What do you think Kareem wanted to go when he left Milwaukee? Will
right,
Chamberlain
but I'm just
says, I want to go to L.A. It's
Michael,
always been that way.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm with
yeah,
you. I don't think
I'm the choir,
but,
too.
But my
yeah,
Mace,
but
the reason – the reason I'm bringing this up is that's why the rule exists. It's that the small markets have demanded that they have this rule. I don't know if they – I would get rid of it. I'm with you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any debate about NBA players is good. I think it's good for the league. It's good for sports radio. Fans enjoy it. But the reason the rule exists is that guys like Dan Gilbert and the guys in Milwaukee and the guys in Philadelphia don't like it when the big market teams talk about their players.
And yet Magic got fined because he said he hopes Giannis
yeah, right.
wins a championship in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was
a $50,000 fine.
That was ridiculous.
That's
yeah.
garbage.
Yeah.
But if you want to change the rule, change the rule. In the meantime, Joe Lacob should get the exact same treatment that Magic Johnson
speaking
did.
Of changing rules, Alan, I'm glad you're here this week. Last week I brought this up and with Mason and Momo and Greg Bourbon, and they didn't really agree with me.
Okay.
So I'm going to revisit this with Ireland. He's Mr. NBA, too.
Yes.
You know, Ireland, because you know the NBA says it's going to look into changing the referees' reviews in the last 2 minutes of the games, right?
Right. What do they want to do?
Well, you said they're not going to go to every out of bounds is going to be automatic. You're just going to sort of put a damper on
they're
that.
They're not going to look at those fingertip,
yeah,
he touched it last kind
because,
of things.
Because one quarter against the Suns lasted like 57 minutes. I remember timing it. The last 2 minutes went like 30-something minutes.
Yep.
It just destroys the flow of the
it
game.
Was a joke.
So Alan, I've come up with my usual change rules, common sense rules
right.
in the NBA. See if
as
you
the
agree
commissioner
with it.
Of common
Mason,
sense?
Mason liked one or two, but he didn't agree with us with all six.
Yes.
Okay, here's number one. No, like the NBA says, no referee out of bound rules reviews until a minute or less is left in the game, Ireland.
I'd give you two. I'd go for 2 minutes. I think you could sell 2 minutes. A minute or less might be hard, but if you're trying to come back.
On the out of bounds calls?
On the out of bounds.
No, on the out of bounds call it on the floor. Call it as
right.
you see it.
Okay, Ireland, number two. Intentional fouls that we see at half court to stop a fast break now result in two free throws in possession.
Done.
Love Done. It. Agree.
Number three, no more defensive 3 seconds.
Yesterday, done. Anything that stops the game unnecessarily, Michael, as you and I have talked about, I'd be in favor of.
And, me too.
And defensive 3 seconds stops the game unnecessarily. So far, I'm on board with all these rules.
Number four, coaches' challenges now only with 2 minutes or less left in the game. No more
done.
First half.
Done.
All right. Number five, Ireland.
This is Ireland, are you done on that?
100%.
Ireland, you and I on this one. Mason hates this one. This is number five rule. No more fouling out. The seventh foul.
Disagree.
The seventh foul results in two free throws and possession. That
Mace,
way, we keep our stars.
Eliminates
on the floor.
Strategy.
Mace,
eliminates a
but
strategy.
But Mace, you're right. It does eliminate some strategy. But the NBA, this was Phil Jackson's argument. The NBA is the only sport in the world that takes their stars off the court unnecessarily. Uh-huh. You can't foul out in football. You can't foul out in baseball.
Yeah, you're targeting, you're out. You Kenny Young was out.
You can't fall. You can't foul out in soccer. You. Why would you – if people are paying money to see Westbrook, AD, and LeBron against Durant, Kyrie, and Harden, why would you have any rule that encourages those guys not playing?
I appreciate what one great president called strategery. I am interested to see the strategy when somebody gets into foul trouble. So I just don't agree on this one, and I also don't think it's going to change.
Can't change his mind. Here's number six, Ireland. This is what bothers me, too. Let's say there are 2 minutes left in the game, and you do have timeouts on the floor, right, for your team, one or two.
Right.
But if the referees with 2 minutes or left goes to review, you lose that timeout because you can use the review time for a timeout.
Well, I'm in favor of anything that makes the game move quicker.
Right.
Yeah,
the problem
me too.
Is, Michael, if the refs call for the review, which team do you assign the timeout
Both
to?
Both teams lose their timeout because teams use that review time as a timeout.
Oh, so you take a timeout away
yeah,
from each
just take
team.
The timeout away. You say, well, you got two timeouts left, but we're going through this review, so you better use this time for your timeout.
Hey, is there a reason why, you know, there's such things as 30-second timeouts? Is there a reason why once all the commercials have been shown, like all the mandatory breaks have been taken, that all other timeouts shouldn't be 30 seconds?
Yeah.
What? I mean, you could.
That's the same in the NFL. They have 30-second timeouts unless they go to. I mean, we had 30-second timeouts at the Rams game.
Yeah, I mean, it just
ago.
Seems to me that that would be helpful for everybody.
The problem is when you're at a game, you just go dead for like 4 or 5 minutes. Just everything stops, and you're just like waiting and waiting. It's different at the game than it is at home because you develop some momentum. All of a sudden, there's a TV timeout, and the game stops for 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite coach, Coach Miller, Dave Miller's listening at home. He says, my points are so good, no one would ever listen to you. They make too much sense. Thank you.
Right, but
love Coach Dave. Love his daughter, Sammy, who's doing great work
yeah,
at Arizona
good, she?
State.
She is good.
She is really good.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, Michael, the hardest one of those to sell, as Mason's resistance indicates, is the no foul out
rule.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
There are a lot of people that love the ability to foul somebody out, and but I'm with you. I don't understand. Like, the worst thing in the world is going to a game and having a star player pick up two quick fouls and he's out for the whole half.
Yeah.
Strategery.
Oh, I hate that. Mace loves
strategery.
It. Oh, look, Steph Curry's out of the game for the next 20 minutes. Steve, Mason's happy.
Smart guys don't get fouls on them.
Oh, come on. You ever heard a thing called bad calls, Mace? That takes players out of the game when there wasn't a foul?
Did you ever hear a thing called just not fouling in the first place?
Hey, by the way, basketball rules in North Korea, see if these will work in the NBA. Dunks.
Oh, God.
Dunks are worth 3 points in North Korea. You like that?
In North
place?
Korea?
North Korea.
3 points.
Because, you know, basketball is huge over there because Kim Jong-un is a huge basketball fan.
Dennis Rodman, commissioner. Yeah.
A 3-point shot that doesn't touch the rim is worth 4 points. You like that, Mace, in North Korea?
If you swish
yeah,
a three.
Now, here's a good one. Free throws. The rule is each missed free throw results in 1 point reduction off your score.
Ooh.
You like that, Mace?
You know what? Lose the game and you go to a work camp for the rest of your life.
That's true.
It's a totalitarian dictatorship. I don't trust any of their rules. You just get put away. They disappear people.
Oh, I know.
I missed a shot. You're disappeared. Oh,
especially if Kim Jong-un had money on the game.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah, I like these rules in North Korea. A basket scored in the last 3 seconds of a game is worth 8 points.
Oh, geez, why don't you just put in a rock and jock rule where you put a 20-foot hoop in?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Mace, Michael has argued and strongly feels that they should have a 4-point line.
I do, too. I would love a 4-point line.
30 feet.
Yep, I would love
these guys have a crazy range now. I would love to see these guys pulling up, but the game on the line, you're up six or whatever, and you come down with guys who can shoot it now. Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Clay, Steph, those kind of guys. LeBron, can knock down those
Dame Lillard.
Rims. Yeah, why not? Yeah. But it'd be add more fun to the game. People poo-poo my idea like they 30 years ago they were poo-pooing the three-point line.
Yeah, no, Michael, I'm completely with you.
All right, thanks.
It makes the games more – it gives a team a chance –
yep.
Later in a game,
yep,
that otherwise might not have a chance.
Exactly.
You can make up 8 points with two shots.
That's right. Oh, man.
Every game hangs in the balance if there's a four-point line.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't – at least experiment with it in the preseason. See how it looks.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't experiment with all these rules in the preseason. And, Michael, the illegal defense rule is outdated.
Oh,
they should
just
get rid of that.
It's ridiculous.
Just by the way, here's an update on Sean McVay. Both Lindsay Theory and some other reporters saying he did – have a COVID-19 test and tested negative.
They think
he's got a stomach bug and he doesn't want to spread it, so he's staying home today. That's why we normally have Sean McVay on Wednesdays. We had Matthew Stafford pinch hit for him earlier today, but the plan is that McVay will be on the sidelines this weekend.
Yeah, multiple people saying to you, Ireland, you can get a red card in soccer or two yellows and you're out of the game.
Yeah, that's true, but you can do that, of course. But
yeah, so I guess you could technically foul out. But you have to do something pretty egregious to get a red card or two yellows,
right, don't
you, Michael?
Yeah, oh, definitely. But in basketball, you can do a little ticky-tack fouls, two quick fouls, and there goes LeBron sitting on the bench when all the fans came to pay to see him play.
Little bit of breaking news. Dodgers have activated A.J. Pollock.
Good.
So he will potentially be in the lineup tonight. They're playing at, 5:40?
Yeah, hey, Michael, so Trace is playing for the Cubs now. Have you ever been to Wrigley Field?
No, I've never been to Wrigley Field.
Oh, you got to go, man.
Yeah.
It's great. You probably don't have time now that we're starting the basketball
season. You know what?
Season.
I travel to the Bahamas during these COVID times. Traveling these days is just hell.
Because you got to wear a mask the whole time.
A mask every minute. And it's just, I'm just waiting until this pandemic's over before we get on another public flight.
Is the COVID situation in the Bahamas bad? Is everybody down there wearing
masks?
Yeah,
it's just like everybody else. Okay. You know, we have cases down there. We're getting better, but we have cases. But the economy starting to open up now and tourists are starting to come back.
All right. Hey, Mace, a couple of Dodger updates that are trickling in here.
Yeah, I think the lineup's out.
All right. A.J. Pollock is active, but he's not in the lineup. He is available as a pinch hitter. And Dave Roberts just said Chris Taylor has regressed since returning to the lineup on Sunday and likely won't be available tonight.
Regress from what?
He's got an injury.
Oh, I thought he meant just his
performance. I forget what his injury is, but he's got an
injury. I thought he was pulling a Doc Rivers and saying he can't play.
And by the way, so it says, he also says that Gavin Lux is going to start in center tomorrow for the day game, and A.J. Pollock will be in left.
Yikes.
Why you say yikes, Mace?
I don't like the way Gavin Lux plays defense.
You're trying to say he should change this from the L to an S?
What do you mean? it's Gavin sucks? I'll leave it to Michael.
I mean, with a name like that, you better be good.
Leave it to Michael.
Right? You need to tweet that, Michael.
No, I'm not doing that. No way.
So the lineup tonight goes Mookie in center, Seager at short. I like him in the two-hole. Trey Turner batting third. That's the right spot. Max Muncy cleanup, perfect. Justin Turner, 5. Will Smith, 6. Gavin Lux, 7. And in left field, and then Luke Raley, who I railed against yesterday, had a hit last night. He's out there in right field.
He was part of that late two-out rally that tied the game at 2.
What happened to Bellinger? Is he out of the lineup now?
Yeah,
he's on the IL.
Maybe that's why he wasn't hitting this year, guys. He was playing hurt.
Well, no, he dislocated a rib.
Oh, but I thought he had a bad...
That's why he's out now.
Yeah. I thought he had
Although
a bad
I would
shoulder.
Argue he's probably out because he's just not hitting well.
Oh. I thought he hurt
John,
his
don't
shoulder.
You think?
They're related, but there's something wrong with his swing, Michael. Yeah. He was a Rookie of the Year and MVP, and now he's hitting under 200.
Didn't he get injured or hurt his shoulder and that messed things up?
Well, yeah, when he celebrated when they won the World Series last year and needed surgery to fix that, but maybe, he's never been the same.
Maybe it's not fixed. Maybe he just doesn't want to admit the surgery didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with him now.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, there is a name, according to Dennis Dodd, that according to him, it's his job to pass.
What job?
On the USC head coaching job.
Oh, USC. Okay.
Yeah. Dennis Dodd reports it's his job to turn down. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
West Wing, President Bartlett. John, you live and die with Aaron Sorkin, who's one of the great writers of this generation of
Best
writers.
Best show ever made.
Better
Best
than The Sopranos?
Yes.
Wow.
What's in its league is Curb.
Oh,
Curb
really?
Your Enthusiasm. But that's
Wait a minute. You don't have The Wire in its league?
Well, The Wire's in its league.
Breaking Bad
and Game of Thrones.
And The Sopranos.
For me, West Wing number one, Curb number two, barely. Oh.
Seen zero episodes.
Of which?
Curb?
No, I've seen every Curb episode. No, of West Wing. Not one.
Yeah.
Zero.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
does it hold
love
up
like
now?
John does.
Like, if you watch it now, does it hold up?
Well, Mason says that it's too Pollyanna, that
it
the
is
two
very
sides
Pollyanna.
Would never work together.
Yeah, it's that president is mythical and will never exist, and it's impossible for him to exist. It was like the soaring world where everybody did the right thing. We don't have that.
That sounds like you when you find a play card.
It is like that. Doing
Here
the
you
right
go,
thing,
sir.
Michael.
Take your play card back.
I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dennis Dodd, who's a college football writer, says USC fired head coach Helton last week. Many replacement names have since floated in social media and sports network. And CBS Sports college football reporter Dennis Dodd says that the USC job is Luke Fickell's to turn down.
Who's he?
He's the head Luke coach Fickell's at Cincinnati.
Oh. Cincinnati. And it's a great year. Top 10 team. I just don't believe that Luke Fickell is the right guy for USC. I don't think he's the big name that USC fans really
I heard
see
it might be that guy out of Penn State.
James Franklin.
See, now I understand that one. Like Penn State, he's part of a big program, right? He's leading a big program. This is the University of Cincinnati.
All right, so here's Fickell. Here's a little background on Fickell. He took over in Cincinnati in 2017. He used to be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He had a tough first season, 4-8. Then in his second season, they won 11 games, and last year they went 9-1 and competed with Georgia in the Peach Bowl. So the last 2 years, he's been excellent. Cincinnati, because of Fickell, has basically been invited to join the Big 12, but a lot of people don't think he'll be there when they do join the Big 12 in a couple of years. So, Mace, this is the prototypical guy working his way up the chain. 11 wins 2 years ago, 9 out of 10 last year. That
it's
doesn't
Cincinnati.
Win you over.
It's right. Cincinnati.
Right, but, I mean, they competed with Georgia in the Peach Bowl. Georgia's pretty good.
Who are they even playing? Who does Cincinnati even play? What conference are they in?
Right now, they're in the same conference as Central Florida.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, you're right. That's huge.
No. I'm with you. I don't think he's a big enough name, but it would be better than Eric Bieniemy.
Although they do have a – no, I think Eric – based on the inside information, I think Eric Bieniemy's done.
Why?
He's not a candidate for the job.
What happened? No, what happened now?
Well, first
no,
of all, he's
no,
got –
No, nothing in particular happened.
Why
me,
isn't he appealing?
Let me find the note I got real quick.
Well, and Michael, he's got some baggage, but on top of that – Mike Bone was the athletic director at Colorado. When Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator, and the teams were terrible.
Oh. Yeah, won 3 games in 2 years. They all got fired and basically got Bone fired. Don't see him going back down that for a coach who has never been a college head coach.
Yeah, they could get that kid out of Penn State. They just give him twice the money he's getting there.
Yeah, his buyout's $4 million. Yeah. They could handle that.
Oh,
yeah.
Penn State, I think James Franklin, I think Mario Cristobal at Oregon.
Yeah.
He's another guy. Mm-hmm. I think those are two top shelf picks.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Ireland? Who am I missing?
Franklin is probably the leader in the clubhouse, I would think. But, you know, a lot depends on how much Carol Folt and Mike Bone want to emphasize football. You know, football's, like, the most important thing in the world to USC fans. Mm-hmm. They've indicated since they've taken over that they're not really that concerned about winning.
What?
I mean, they rehired Clay Helton after he went 4-8.
But don't you think that's changed?
Maybe.
Don't they want to get
– They fired him.
Right. But
is Alabama
– Wouldn't you, Mace, wouldn't you have fired him after he went 4-8?
Sure.
Is football important to Alabama?
It's critical. Well, if somebody went if somebody went 4-8 at Alabama, they would have been skewered on a at a barbecue.
Was it football like paramount under McVay and Robinson, McKay and Robinson and all those
and
guys?
And that's what I'm. That's what when I talk to my USC friends, that's what they're. If Carol Folt and Mike Bone understand that, that for years and years and years, USC was a win or you're fired job,
right.
Until these two came along.
So I just want to point this out. So Luke Fickell, I get it. Build a nice program. Their schedule includes Miami of Ohio, Murray State, Temple, Central Florida, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, East Carolina. Come on.
Not big enough.
Not big enough. Has not played with the big boys. Mm-hmm. Huh. I want somebody who's been there. Like James Franklin makes sense. Been in really tough Big Ten conference. Games against Ohio State, games against Michigan.
And has done well. And took over a Penn State program that was, you know, some people thought would never get back to respectability. And he came in after Bill O'Brien and actually improved on it.
What about Bill O'Brien? Doesn't he feel very Pete Carroll-y?
You know where he is now, right?
Where Alabama.
Yeah, he's working for Nick Saban. He sure messed up the Texans, Mace. And he made that unbelievably bad deal for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hire him.
Yeah.
Really think that's him, or do you really think that's the general manager?
He was the general manager.
Yeah, he was.
Was coach and general manager.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible trade.
He's
able to sit in a kid's living room and say, look, I've coached in the NFL. I've coached with Nick Saban. I know how to get you to the NFL.
Yeah, and I once traded DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of chips. I don't know. But Brian doesn't feel like the right fit to me, but it was one of the names that Ryan Abraham mentioned yesterday.
And didn't he blow like a 30-0 lead in Kansas City in the playoffs?
When the Texans were up 28-3 or 7 or something. Hey, Michael, while we got a minute here, settle a dispute between Mason and I.
Uh-huh.
Mason and I bet $10,000 in Mythical Money. He says that Ben Simmons will be on the court opening night for the Sixers this year. I say no way.
No way.
Do you think?
I agree with you. I think Mace loses his money. Here's the thing about Ben Simmons in this situation, Mace. He can afford, as crazy as this sounds, he really can afford to sit out the season and lose $27 million because he's 25 years of age.
27 or 37?
It's 37.
Was it 37 this year?
Oh, actually,
yeah, $37 million.
I'm just looking at $33 million this year. 37 in 2 years.
I wouldn't do it, but he can afford to do it because he can make that money up later because he's so young. So even though he won't get his money this year, he could make it up on the back end. So
look, I would hold a big bag of money. I would say, listen, Ben, you can either play or I'm keeping this money.
Well, that's what he's facing. If he doesn't show up, he's not going to get paid.
Well, and Michael, the other thing I thought you might pivot to is you've always said that if a player doesn't want to be there, get rid of him.
Exactly.
And
like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Right.
Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be there, wasn't going to play, never was going to play again.
It's a business. Anybody listening to us right now, they work in a place of business or you own a place of business. If you have an employee who doesn't want to work for you, he or she, why would you force her to stay or him
different
to stay?
I'm under contract. I couldn't go work for another station.
But if you are unhappy here and miserable here and you
let's
and
say,
and
let's,
they knew
the
you,
hypothetical is I am. I can't leave and go work for another station.
Right.
I have a contract.
But the difference, Mace, is you're not.
By the way, I'm very happy here, just for the record.
Yeah, and in this scenario that you're drawing up, you're not openly coming out and saying, I'll never do another show
what
on
if
ESPN
I did?
Again. Then I think they cut bait with you.
Yeah, they say, okay.
And I can go anywhere I want?
Yeah, it's not worth it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I can go anywhere I want?
I don't care about you anymore. You can do it. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay anymore. Goodbye.
Mace, if you ran a business, would you force an employee to work for you?
I've no wage. I mean, I've got
you own a business.
Minimum wage employees who leave and go to Home Depot. I mean, I have no control.
Okay,
over
let's
that.
Say
hey,
you
hey,
own.
Hey, I'd rather work at the movie theater than Home Depot.
Yeah, I mean, I lost people all the. You know, I'm going to work at Ross.
The ship is sinking, or it's already
sunk.
I would
not go to Ross.
Ben's heart isn't in it anymore. They should have traded him when they had a chance.
Yeah, I think he'll be there opening night.
And now Doc is trying to clean. You hear what Doc is trying to say? Like he's trying to clean it up?
He's going to try to fix it.
Oh, I wasn't talking about Ben. I was talking about the question.
He says he's going to try to fix it. You don't believe Doc can fix it?
No.
Doc can talk his way out of a lot of stuff, Michael. He's pretty smart.
Hey, Doc, do you think you can win a championship with Ben Simmons as your point guard? I don't think so. How do you get away with that?
But here's the thing. Do you think you can get a chance at it? They were the number one seed in the West and the East last year. Don't they have a better chance of competing for a title with Ben Simmons without?
You know, they do these speculation trades on ESPN, what they could get for Ben. Sacramento's got a good one. Marvin Bagley, Tyrese Halliburton, and Buddy Hield.
If I'm Philadelphia, I do that trade.
I know, so would I.
That trade's real.
I wouldn't do that trade if I'm Sacramento.
But
I'm not giving up on Halliburton.
Yeah, but Ben could play. You guys are forgetting how good Ben is. The man can do everything.
Shoot.
You know,
I'd give him Bagley, Hield, and two number ones.
Yeah. See, I would take that. I'd take Halliburton. I want Halliburton in
there. Yeah, Halliburton or Davion Mitchell, one of those guys. I mean, that could help Philadelphia.
Yeah, but that's just speculation, Michael. I don't know if any of that stuff's true.
Well, you never know, but that's one of the trades they said they should be on the table for.
Yeah, no, I would love that trade if I was Philly.
Yeah.
If I was Philly.
That's a good
deal. Coming up next for you, John Ireland has told a lie at some point during the show. He has been – actually, you know, we talked a lot about John and his, you know, cheating ways and UCLA
not cheating.
And all that stuff.
You think it's cheating.
He told a lie today in character. I think I know exactly what it is. If you think you know what it is, we'll take three calls.
What time frame?
I'm not even going to say. Sometime during the show. The idea is you got to listen to the whole show to figure out the lie.
May have just happened, Michael.
Yeah,
moments ago.
877-710-ESPN. Only three guys get a crack at it. If you get it right, you get a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
Hey, Michael, you get the game today?
Yes, I do. It's about the L.A. Rams. We'll find out who's a real Rams
fan. Oh, that
favors
Mason. Nice. Okay.
Nice. We'll see how much Mason knows about his Rams.
More
okay, cool.
60s Rams talk.
Oh, come on.
Are we going to go back to the 60s and do that kind of stuff?
It's fearsome,
Michael?
Foursome. That's what I say.
If you're a Rams fan, you should know this stuff.
Michael, the answer? Merlin Olsen.
There you go.
Everything, I know everything from Lawrence McCutcheon on.
John Hadle.
not John Hadle.
Hadle was a...
Dieter Brock.
Dieter Brock, that's right.
All right, coming up next for you, Lie of the Day, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so it is time for Lie of the Day. Now, at some point, Ireland told a lie. By the way, Michael Thompson's hanging out. We always love when Michael's here. So,
Wait a minute, who's this rap song?
I'll say Tupac.
You heard it before, right?
Good job, Mace.
Everybody's Tupac. Everybody's Tupac to Mace.
I think this is Drake.
No, it's not Drake.
Who is it?
Was this on The Chronic, Jorge?
No, man, not on The Chronic, man. This is Tupac, according to Mace.
Yeah, Tupac.
Okay.
Who is it?
He just told
you. I just told you.
It's Tupac. Oh, okay. It's Tupac.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
All Eyes on Me.
It's a very soulful song.
Oh, Hail Mary, man.
Oh, Hail Mary, my bad.
All right.
None of us
apparently know much of anything. All right, so John Ireland told a lie. And right now we got three guys trying to figure out, sniff it out for a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. I think I know what it is. I think I know what it is this time.
Okay.
But let's see if the callers know who it is. Let's start out. Do you have him in front of you, John?
Yep. JR in LA. Hey, JR. JR going once. JR.
Hey, JR.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep. We can hear you. What's the lie, JR?
All right. So I'm thinking it was when you said you were at UCLA and the Stanford coach came in, left the playbook on the table, and you picked it up and gave it to your assistant coach.
100% correct.
That was my guess too, JR. Congratulations.
Completely sniffed it out. That was easy.
Let's go.
Okay,
good job, JR. You got a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. Is he gone?
Greg got him.
Got him. Okay. We could have a conversation with him too, but.
I got a couple of things I want to ask. First of all, Michael, what's your survivor pick for this weekend?
Survivor.
You're still alive.
All right, let's see. Boy, I was looking at this stuff. Are you guys still alive too?
Yep. I'm taking Denver. Mace, who are you taking?
I am going to take Baltimore at Detroit.
All right, that's a good pick. Michael, who are you going with? You only need a win. Doesn't matter by how many wins. You just need to win the game.
I'll go with Buffalo. Washington at Buffalo.
All right, that's a good pick.
Buffalo for the win.
I like Heineken, though. Heineken's a good little quarterback.
Yeah, Heineke.
Well, whatever.
Right. Yeah, whatever. You're right. Whatever. Okay. So Bergman's got Denver. Jorge has gone Raiders now.
Boy, so we're all on a different team.
which is good. You and Bergman are on the same team. You guys are both on Denver.
Yeah, I'll get my mom's either tonight or tomorrow.
Do you think Denver's that good?
I don't. I think they stink. I'm doing the thing that carried me most of last year. Go against the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good call.
Did they look terrible?
It's a good call. All right. I got one last thing to go to here.
Yeah, I got one too. Well, you want to go first?
Well, you go.
Okay. So one of the coolest things that Mason and I have ever gotten to do in person is we've seen Saturday Night Live from the audience. We've gotten to go and watch a taping. So they announced today the hosts and musical guests for the first four episodes of the new season.
Awesome.
So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to tell you who they are, and then I'm going to ask you guys, if you could only go once, which one would you pick? All right?
Yep.
Week one, season premiere, is Owen Wilson hosting with Kacey Musgraves as the musical guest.
Okay.
Week two, Kim Kardashian hosting Halsey as the musical guest. All right. Week number three, Rami Malek as the host with Young Thug as the musical guest. And week four, Jason Sudeikis, who used to be on the cast but is now Ted Lasso, comes back as host with Brandi Carlile as a musical guest. So your choices again, Owen Wilson, Kim Kardashian, Rami Malek, Jason Sudeikis, Mace, you get one. Who are you going with?
Well, as much as I probably am going to dip into the sleaze, and I'm going to go with Kim Kardashian and Halsey.
Well, you know that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I know. I love Halsey, by the way. She was the host and musical guest when I got to go to Saturday Night Live.
And I'm thinking that I have an excellent shot to be Kim Kardashian's husband number five. You know, she's had three. I figure there'll be one more after this, and then I would.
But she only likes rappers or basketball players.
The first guy she married was a dancer, Michael. You've seen me dance. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, you can dance.
That's true.
All right, so, Michael, if I let you go to one of those shows, which one are you going to?
Come on, is there any kind of competition here? That's like saying, do you want to go see the Rolling Stones or you want to see a garage band compared to Kim Kardashian? You got to go see Kim.
All right, so everybody's on Kim. Jorge, you on Kim?
See, of course.
Bergman?
Nope, going Jason Sudeikis.
I think that was the one I considered. That will be the funniest show because he was great as a cast member.
He was great.
You know, and now he's coming back.
Do you ever see on Ted Lasso, they say it was based on characters from Saturday Night Live? He apparently played a Ted Lasso guy on Saturday Night Live, so they credit Saturday Night Live.
And then the NBC saw it, hired him to do promos for the English Premier League, him and Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard. And the promos were so funny that they thought, well, we could turn this into a sitcom. And that was the birth of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, but you know they're going to be making fun of the Kardashians with Kim. She could be making fun of herself and her family.
Yeah, it'll be great.
You know, it's really smart. She'll be self-deprecating, and I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that several of her family members will actually show
That's
up
right.
and be part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Mace, the night you went live, who was the host?
Halsey was the host and the musical guest.
Okay, so the second time I went, Kristen Stewart was the host. But the first time I went, the one and only time he's ever hosted, Donald Trump.
Wow.
When he was running
I remember
for
that
president
show.
With Sia as the musical guest. It was good. It was funny.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
All right, coming up next, Michael Thompson's game. We always look forward to Michael's games. They always are more detailed and more fun than most of the other ones. And, Michael, you say this is Rams-related,
Rams-related. Right? See what you guys know about the Rams. Pretty straightforward questions.
All right. We'll test our knowledge of 60s Rams.
Oh, please.
Who was the starting running back in 1954?
Well, 1954.
I started
who ran
55.
For 1,000 yards.
Not 54. Don't exaggerate. It's 55.
Sorry.
55. All right. Game of Games is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time, and it is always special when that game is written by and performed by the great Michael Thompson. He's brought the great games over the last couple of years. And, Michael, what do you got for us today?
The LA Rams is what today's game is about. Who's a real Rams fan? We'll soon find out. Mason says he's a real fan, so today's game, he should be the man. So whether it's a St. Louis or L.A. Ram, we'll find out who knows the history and who don't give a damn. We're 2 weeks into the season, but I saved this game until Ireland was here because I know he knows most of these answers, even though Mace is supposed to be Mr. Ram.
Yeah, let's go, Mr. Ramily. Let's see what you got.
All right, number one, who is the Rams' career all-time passer in yards.
Mason. Jim Everett.
Very good, Mace. He does know
your
stuff.
Very good, Mace.
Who is the Rams' career all-time leading scorer in touchdowns?
Greg.
Mason.
Greg.
Eric Dickerson.
No.
Mason.
Mason.
Steven Jackson.
No.
I'll take a shot. Do touchdown passes count?
No. Yep. But they do. Throwing them?
Okay. It's Roman Gabriel.
Nope. Jorge?
Have no idea.
Marshall
so
Falk.
Wait a minute. So this is throwing
Marshall
touchdown
Falk.
Passes?
Oh, so St. Louis years count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marshall
okay.
Falk.
Got it. Got it.
All-time leader in rush yards career for Mason. A Rams. Mason?
Steven Jackson.
Yes. Very good, Mace. But 10,135.
Two for Mace and one for Bergman.
Who is the all-time leader in rush yards? Is Eric Dickerson. For one season, how many did he rush for?
Mason.
Mason.
2,000. You need the exact number?
Yes.
2,105.
Wow. Mace, you are Mr. Ram.
Yeah, that number sticks in my head for
I know.
Reason.
Me too.
Wow, that's impressive. Mason's got three. Bergman, do you have one? Or
no, I do not. I'm at zero.
Okay. So Mace, we're being shut out by Mason.
Y'all can guess on this one. Closer to the number without going over. What is the Rams franchise valued at?
Mace, you go first.
I will say $4.7 million.
Mace says $4.7.
Million?
Billion.
Billion. I'm sorry, billion.
No, he said million. He said million.
Yeah, he said million.
It's billion.
Stick to it.
He said million.
All right. Bergman, you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can't go over.
Okay. $4.71
billion. $4.71
billion,
says Ireland.
4.72 billion.
Says,
4.73.
73 wins. It's 4.8 billion.
No! Jorge takes a point.
Jorge, you almost went too high.
Yeah. Now, there are three teams with higher franchise values than the Rams, 4.8 billion. Name the three teams.
Mason.
Don't Cowboys. Have to be. They don't have to be in order. Yes, Cowboys is one.
Patriots.
Yes. And the third team?
And the third one is the Bears.
No.
Greg.
Greg.
Steelers.
No.
John.
John.
Giants.
Yes. Giant. Island steals the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got one. Horry's got one. And Mason's got three.
Now listen to this question closely. Name the last four L.A. Ram coaches going backwards
John.
From
Mason.
Today. John.
All right. Sean McVay.
Yes.
Jeff Fisher.
Yes.
Oh, who was the coach before Jeff Fisher? Sorry, I'd have to go back to the St. Louis years. Was Jim?
Nope, I said
Mason.
L.A. Rams. Mason.
Oh,
L.A. Rams.
L.A. Rams.
Okay. L.A. Rams.
Can I guess?
Yes. You got McVay, okay. Fisher. Who? Name two more. Going backwards.
John Robinson.
No.
Okay, I'm out.
Mason.
Who was before John Robinson?
I think it was Chuck Knox.
Yes,
the second
Chuck
time.
Knox.
And then you go John Ryan.
Yes, Mace got another one.
Okay.
And
yeah,
what
brought Chuck Knox for a revival tour.
In which cities, name the cities, the Rams have called home.
John. Cleveland.
Yes.
Los Angeles.
And
St. Louis.
Yes. Wow.
So that's two. Mason's got four, right?
Cool. Yep.
Having fun, Jorge?
Come on, guys.
Yeah, I got one, yeah.
Oh, you
Who
got
is
one.
The Rams' all-time winningest coach?
John.
Mason.
John.
Chuck Knox.
No.
Mason. It has got to be John Robinson.
Yes, John Robinson.
Son of a...
This is fun. You having fun, too?
I'm having fun.
Well, Bergman, we can't help it if you're a dope.
Yeah, I'm having a good old time.
The Rams have had number one overall picks in the draft seven times. Name three out of
John.
The seven. John?
Number one overall picks.
Number one overall
okay.
pick. Name three out of the seven.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Number one.
Three.
I don't think
That's
Marshall
enough.
Falk was.
One.
Yeah, no. I'm out.
Name two more. I'll give you guys hints. Is that fair to give you hints?
Yeah, give us hints.
A quarterback and a lineman.
Quarterback
a lineman.
And a lineman.
Oh, boy.
He's a Hall of Famer. Great lineman.
Greg, I'll say Orlando Pace.
Yes. And who's the other quarterback?
Quarterback. This is where I'm going to get miss it.
Three. Two.
Jim Everett.
No.
Okay.
Three.
Mason.
Another quarterback.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yep.
Can I guess or am I out?
You're out.
You're out. The first two, and it's got to be Sam Bradford.
Yes.
Very oh, that's good. Right. That is Bradford.
Yep. He was a bust.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
All right, so Mason has six, and I have three. How many you got left, Mike? You got a bunch?
Yeah, about four or five, six.
Okay.
Which Rams receiver has the most catches in a career?
John.
Greg. John?
Torrey Holt.
No.
Greg.
Greg.
Henry Ellard.
No.
Mason. Isaac Bruce.
Yes, very good, Mason.
Good guess.
After Sunday's win, how many wins does McVay have as a Rams coach?
Mason. 34?
Nope.
Greg. 44.
Nope.
Does the win count on Sunday?
Yes, that counts. I'm counting that one.
I think Greg was pretty close. I'll go 45.
Nope. Jorge?
I'll say 43.
49.
Oh.
49. You guys were in the neighborhood.
He was in the 40s.
Listen to this one carefully. This is a good one. In 1972, the Rams were purchased by this owner whose son.
John. You want the name of the owner?
Owner, and I didn't finish the question.
Okay. No, you don't get the
answer. Whose son? The rest of the question.
No, you don't get the rest of the question. All right. He dialed in.
I'm going to say Carol Rosenblum. The son was Steve, and the wife was Georgia.
No. In 1972, the Rams were purchased by this owner, whose son now runs another NFL team. And the buyer of the Rams traded the team for Rosenblum's team. Who was the buyer, and which teams were the Rams traded for?
And it's somebody that worked for the Rams.
Somebody and his
Mason.
Son. And nope, his son now runs the team that.
Oh, I
Mason,
know what it
Mason,
is.
Mason. It's Marvin Demoff.
No.
If anybody gets it, Michael, I think I can get it.
I think you should get it because
we don't get a point for it, but you can get it.
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Who was the buyer?
They switched with the Colts,
right?
And it was the Ursays.
Right.
It's Jim Ursay's dad. I don't know what
Robert
his name is.
Robert Ursay.
Yeah.
And the Colts for the Rams.
Yeah. I remember that now.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
All right, do four more. I got to get them all to catch Mason. If Mason gets any, he wins.
Who is the Rams' all-time sack leader?
John.
Mason. John.
Deacon Jones.
No. It's a little-known fact. That's the hint. It's a little-known fact.
Mason.
That he is – Mason. He is the Rams'
– Little.
Little. Yep.
Who is it's it? Little. Last name is Little.
Yeah, Leonard Little.
You don't get credit for that.
No, you just said Little.
Right, keep going.
It was Little. I got the name right.
Name the four members of the Fearsome Foursome.
Hey, John.
John.
Merlin Olsen.
Yes.
Deacom Jones.
Yep.
Lamar Lundy.
Yes.
And, I don't know who the other guy is. Jack Youngblood.
No. I'll give you guys a hint. He was one of the Fearsome Foursome, but he was very famous, and he has something to do with Robert Kennedy.
Oh, it's Rosie Greer.
Mason.
Rosie Greer.
Yes.
All right, Mason wins.
All right.
All right, good game, Michael.
Yeah,
good game.
We can't help it if Bergman is on the Rams station and knows nothing about the Rams.
I don't know the history of the Rams, absolutely not. And I'm a Raider fan.
Bergman, who's the Rams' backup quarterback?
Right now?
Yeah.
The backup quarterback for the Rams. Oh, it's Wolf.
Right. John Wolfer.
John Wolfer.
He knows the stuff.
Yeah.
I know the current stuff.
He knows the current Rams.
Yes.
He just doesn't know the history.
Yeah. No.
All right, I guess it's over.
It is.
Mason, you know your Rams stuff. I take it all back.
Yeah,
you
Mason
are.
Wins. What do you got now, Mason? You have three?
Yeah, I got four now.
You have, okay.
Bergman so, 5, Mason 4, Ireland 3, Jorge 2.
On Friday, they start counting double.
That's right. All right, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow, 12:55 sharp. George and Scott coming up next. Put your Ram hands up. 710 ESPN.